believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. I believe he is here now. I believe you are here, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in Jesus. I believe he came to save us all. I believe he reigns in majesty. I believe he lifts me when I fall. And I believe he's here now, standing in our here with the power to heal now and the grace to forgive. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he is here now.
I believe that you're here,
standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now,
with the power to heal
and the grace to forgive. I believe in Jesus. I believe save us all. I believe he reigns in majesty. I believe he lifts me when I fall. I believe he is here now.
No, you know this one. It's one of our favorites.
I want is where my hope's secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. I got a peace of feeling, and I know it won't let me down. I'm already standing on solid ground.
Because all except for Melanie and I didn't know this song. Mom, do you know this song, On Jordan's Bank? On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist cry. Sandy, do you know it? You're going to learn a song then, because this is actually going to be our opening hymn on Sunday. So we need plants.
Plants?
Plants. We're making plants tonight.
Plants.
Plants. So we're going to plant you around so you can help the other ones learn this song. Actually, there's five verses. It's not long. You're going to recognize it. You'll recognize it. It sounds better with piano, of course. Better. Somebody decided to do this proof.
On Jordan's banks, the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for He brings the tidings of King of Kings. And cleanse me every life from sin, make straight the way, for God is in. And let us all our hearts repent for Christ to come and enter there. He hails.
Oh, wow. Actually, that's in the Lutheran. That's in the Lutheran hymnal. And I was stunned when it wasn't in the Methodist hymnal. But I'd already picked it, so I said, "We're gonna do it."
Esther, what do you got for us today?
Oh, a little bit more about Scrooge. And remembrance of Christmas past. As soon as I get organized here. What are some of your earliest Christmas memories? Scott didn't get anything for Christmas, but Well, I don't know. I had a thought run through my mind. We were my brother and I, my twin brother and I, and my mother and the three of her and my brother and I were waiting at home for my dad to get home from work. Unfortunately, and he never drank in his life. Well, he decided they were going to have a company Christmas party, so he got home a little late. It's the last time I ever remember him ever having anything to drink. But that was very vivid. Memory, because that was one unhappy mother. Let me tell you, she was not happy at all. The fact that he was late. I was ringing the Salvation Army bell Saturday morning. A guy came up to relieve me. He said him and his wife had been married 40 years and they have cut 40 fresh Christmas trees. We had fresh cut trees, Cindy and I, until Barron decided one of them was a bathroom one year. That's vivid. And to throw away that tree skirt. it seem like we used to have more white Christmases? It seemed that way to you? Kind of does to me, if you think about it. One white Christmas? You have hope, though. There'll be more. Why do you think we remember those things? Good memory, family time. Now, I think your memories, you think back over the years, and it's like your parents, those memories are, it's kind of what you have, when you really stop and think about it, if they're gone, and, or friends, or family members, whatever. So, I think it's important that that we have them. We got a video we're going to take a look at. It's this is Scrooge again on Christmas Past. The Ghost of Christmas Past. Second one.
Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas! If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should!
What is your earliest memory? My earliest memory is seeing my younger sister run down the sidewalk while we play a game of tag. The interesting thing about this memory, however, is that I'm 3 years older than my sister. So for 3 years, I was an only child. If you were to ask me if I was an only child, based solely on my memory and my experience, I would say no. That's the thing about our memories, is sometimes they can be incomplete, painfully subjective, and misleading. especially when we talk about our memories from the distant past. Sometimes we talk about the good old days, but we have to ask, were the good old days actually good? And for whom were they good? What do you remember about the Christmas story? Obviously, you weren't there, but what do you remember about the Christmas story from Scripture? How would you tell the story? Maybe it would go something like this. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. Joseph found that Mary was with child. He was told in a dream not to dismiss her. And then Mary had a child at home, and his name is Jesus. Is that the Christmas story? It seems a bit incomplete, doesn't it? Where are the shepherds? Where are the angels? Where are the wise men and the star of Bethlehem? Actually, that summary is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the Gospel of Luke that contains the shepherds and the angels and the traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Sometimes our memories are incomplete. Now, there's nothing wrong with having wise men at the manger with the star and the angel. Because sometimes when we memorize the Christmas story and when we share that Christmas story, we combine Matthew and Luke into one nice, neat story. Even though combining the two is not quite correct. But ultimately, that doesn't matter. The first spirit Scrooge encounters is the ghost of Christmas past. And this ghost takes Scrooge on a journey through his own past, not to correct his memory, but so that he might remember the joy that he has forgotten.
Good heaven! I was bred in this place. I was a boy here. There's the parrot. Green body, yellow tail, with a thing like a lettuce growing out of the top of his head. There he is, poor Robin Crusoe, we called him, when he came home again after sailing round the island. There goes Friday, running for his life to the little creek. Hello? Hoop? Hello?
With these fond memories of the past, we begin to see a change happen in Scrooge. Advent is a season of change. Everything is different during this time of year. People put lights on their houses. The gingerbread latte is back in the coffee shop. All of our music changes on the radio to include sleigh bells and Rudolph, and everything changes during this time of year. It is a season of senses. And with this change, the world is begging the church to give this change meaning. We put lights on our house because Jesus is the light of the world, dispelling the darkness. Our music includes words of hope and joy and peace for all. Our tastes are different. It is a season of senses because God Himself now has them. God has put on flesh and has eyes to see our pain and grief, ears to hear our lament, and hands to aid us in our daily walk. Music is an important part of Scrooge's memory. And music is an important part of our memory of the Christmas season. I can't imagine what Christmas would be like if we didn't have music. The angels appear to the shepherds and they praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." But interestingly, the story never mentions music at all. But yet when we tell the Christmas story, we almost can't help but incorporate music. So whether you hear, "Glory in the highest," or "Gloria," whatever song makes sense to you, we can't help but sing it. And I think it's because music is fundamental to creation itself. When God created the heavens and the earth, God spoke life into existence. Then God said, "Let there be light." And that voice created everything that we see and hear and feel and touch. I wonder what creation sounded like. When light was created, was that the first melody? When God separated the waters, is that when harmony is born? One of Scrooge's fondest memories revolves around music. He sees Mr. Fezziwig, which was his old boss. And one night, he and his wife throw a grand party, filled with music, dancing, and a grand banquet.
Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart. It's Fezziwig, alive again. Mr. Fezziwig has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
Seeing Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig twirl around fills Scrooge with such joy that he momentarily forgets that normally he would scoff at such a scene. You see, Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig spent very little on this party. And yet, it ends up being one of Scrooge's fondest memories. It felt as if it had cost him a fortune. Here, we're beginning to see a glimmer of Scrooge's redemption. He's beginning to let go of the importance of money. He's beginning to see that money is not the source of his happiness. Seeing that event filled him with probably his most important memory of all. But not all of our memories are happy. Sometimes Christmas is a very difficult time for many of us. Many churches like to light candles during the Advent season, one candle for each week of the four-week journey. Peace, hope, love, and joy. In whatever order the candles find themselves, joy is the culmination of the Advent season. The Gospels give us a very particular view of joy, and it's not a happy feeling. Rather, joy is the steadfast assurance that God is with us. Early in the Gospel of Luke, joy is mentioned when Mary, Jesus' mother, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, meet. And when they meet, Scripture says that John the Baptist, within Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy. But the second time that this phrase is mentioned is when Jesus is preaching to the crowds. And he says, "Blessed are you when people revile you, hate you on my account. Leap for joy on that day, because great is your reward in heaven." Joy isn't necessarily a happy feeling. It goes beyond happiness, because joy is the steadfast assurance that God is with us.
Spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delay to torture me? Show me no more. Remove me from this place. I cannot bear it. Leave me. Take me back. Hold me no longer.
God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. When Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from death and sin when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Scrooge was able to piece together and reclaim the identity he had lost. There's a reference here from Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 24 I want to read, because it kind of sums it all up. For you've heard about my earlier conduct when in Judea, that I persecuted beyond measure the congregation of God and was destroying it. And this is how Paul became an apostle, but this is Paul's memory of going back to that. And I was advancing in Judea over many contemporaries in my generation, since I was a zealot of the traditions of my ancestor to a much greater degree. So what he's saying there was he was so much better at persecuting the church than some of the other contemporary people who were persecuting the church. But when God chose, the one who appointed me from my mother's womb and who called me through his grace to have revealed his son to me so that I would proclaim him to the heathen, I did not immediately consult flesh and blood, and I did not go up to Jerusalem to discuss those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, then again returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see another of the apostles except Jacob or James, the brother of the Lord. And about which I write to you, behold before God that I am not lying. Then I went through the regions of Syria and Cilicia, but I was not known in person by those congregations of the Jewish people in Jesus. But they were only hearing that the one formerly persecuting us is now proclaiming the gospel of faith, which he was formerly destroying, and they were praising God because of me. The first part of it is he talks about his memories of what he was and what he was doing. Then he gets to talking about his redemption and that God had called him. And in essence, he's kind of bragging there a little bit. You know, he said, I was advancing in Judea over my contemporaries. I was so much better than the rest of them. I could persecute better than the rest of them. And so when we look at that and we hear that, there are some important things, I think, that Paul brings out there. And I think one of them is who he was, because he's no longer who he was. And I think it's important for us to to remember that. And one of the things we're going to talk about Sunday's memories, but we all have good memories, and then we probably have better than good memories, because the bad memories we pretty much forget. At least I do. I have chosen to do that, and for various reasons. But you know, when we look at that, and Paul, he spends a couple of verses talking about that. Then he gets into how he's changed and what the differences has been. And then the last thing he says was that nobody knew him. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew me. But they knew that the one that was persecuting the church is now proclaiming the gospel. And so it's not who he was, but it's now who he is. And so the question that is posed is, how does that story shape who he became? And how does our story shape who we became? And I said it, and I think I may have shared this with you before, but I sat in on a church consultation when I was at Cornerstone, and they were talking about different things, and I think I annoyed this bishop that was down here, because he asked me, he said, how'd you find this church? And I said, I was driving by, and I felt like I should attend there. Well, that wasn't the answer he was looking for. The answer he was looking for was someone went out and invited me in. And one of the things that they had discovered there is that they had lost their vision of evangelism. And when the church loses that, you decline, unfortunately. But that's what really happened. So one of the things that they challenged us to do, and Raleigh does the same thing. He says, do it in 100 words. But what they challenged us is, write your God story in 2 minutes. It's about as long as you can keep somebody's attention if you're talking to them, because after you know, you let them know that, you know, you attend church, they pretty much shut you off. A lot of people have. One of the ladies that was here for, I think it was the Nicaragua dinner, and she was walking out, and she said something about church, and I said, well, we're open every Sunday, you know, at 10:30, and she says, oh, I'm just too busy on Sunday. And I said, well, we're also have church on Thursday evening. Well, I work Thursday evening. Same thing with some people who were here last year for Christmas, picking up their, you know, their Christmas gifts. And you could obviously tell that they were here for the Christmas gifts. They weren't here for anything else. And he said that, you know, he worked on Thursday and Sunday. And that's conceivable. I can believe that. But the whole idea of this is what can I say in 2 minutes that will impact someone's life? And so I would encourage you to do that. Think about it, and what's my past done that has brought me to my present? And it's difficult. When you really start doing it, it's difficult to do it in 2 minutes because of where we've all been to where we are now. And it doesn't make any difference if, you know, you have gray hair and you do this, or you're Melody's age. It's still difficult to do it in 2 minutes. But it's an interesting thing to take a look at. He goes on to say here, he says, the story we profess as Christians is a story of redemption. God creates, sin makes a mess of God's creation. Then God goes to great lengths to clean up the mess and excuse me, and mend the brokenness. We see this in the stories of individuals, in the story of God's people, and in the story of all creation. And I think that that's true, because we saw Adam and Eve in a perfect situation, and yet they were tempted beyond what they could really handle because they chose not to handle it. I believe they could have handled it had they chose to handle it, but they chose not to. And so anyway, when you look at where they were to where they ended up, cast out of the garden, parents of a deceased son, and it's, yeah, and what, you know, all the garbage they had to go through because of one simple act of disobedience. So when we can see those same things in the stories of Paul, as we read, we can see them in Moses killing the Egyptian. We can see it in David when he committed the sin with Bathsheba. We can see it at the woman of the well in John chapter 4. I mean, the Bible is just full of people that had a past, but they also had a future because of what Jesus did and what Jesus has done for us. So while Christmas for many is a time of joy, for many others it's a difficult time. A time of sadness and a time of brokenness. Whether Christmas is a happy time for you or whether Christmas brings with it difficult memories, God is with us. We can find comfort, we can find joy in the truth that God is the God of redemption. And he goes on to say, says, we can find comfort and joy in that truth, and we can extend this comfort and joy to those who need most to hear the truth of redemption during the Advent season and Christmas season. But I would think that, and I would change that a little bit, it's those people that need to hear it continually. There are just people that, you know, and like the lady that said, I'm too busy on Sunday. You know, that unfortunately is one of the really good cases for redemption, and not the judge, but a situation like that would be a story that she could tell others, and how God had redeemed her. So as we look at the past memories, the past thoughts, is all they really are what made us who we are. And really, that's, you know, pretty well sums it up, because of what You know, we're here because of who we are, what we're made. Prayer requests, prayer needs. Anything come to anyone's mind? Anyone come to anyone's mind? Melody, how's that class going? It's more of a prayer you don't just get through it, but it's a prayer you fly through it. There are some people that just thrive on, you know, that. And it's a difficult thing. I think it's as much a disease as some of the other things it's people get. She was fine, though, after we prayed for her.
She was fine for a couple of days or so, and then moved.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I think that's a misconception a lot of people have, is you have to continue to claim your healing. It's not, you know, it's not just something that comes. And I mean, I think we need to continue to thank God for it. Dan? I know Dell mentioned Carol wasn't doing too good Sunday, we see him, so need to remember Carol. He always asks to pray for her, so told her we'll always keep her in our prayers. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you have given us. And we never want to cease to thank you for what you do in our lives. And whether it be a healing touch, or whether it be a forgiveness touch. We thank you for that forgiveness, and we claim that every day. And so healing from sin is nothing different than healing from a physical issue. It just seems like that for most people it's, I guess, easier to understand forgiveness of sin than healing of a physical nature. But it's all the same. And we're going to celebrate both of those in a few moments. But Lord, we just lift these up. And Father, we just again ask in the name of Jesus, who we celebrate his birth soon, but really he's alive every day to us. And we are born renewed every day because of what he's done in our lives. So Father, we thank you for that. Father, we commit these names and these requests to you. And we bring them to you in faith. The faith that we have seen minister to people is the faith that we bring to you because we've seen people healed. And as was just shared about Val, Lord, we pray that she reclaims and claims on a daily basis that she is healed in the name of Jesus. Because it's all about what he has done, not what we have done. So we thank you for that healing, for that restoration, Father, that comes from you. And Father, we pray for our Sunday, and we pray for the service this Sunday. Pray, Father, that you will continue to anoint everything that is done within this worship center, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us, show us what you would have us to do and where you would have us to go. Father, I pray that you bless the music, you bless the musicians, you bless those that sing. Lord, you bless the person that walks around with a microphone. And help them, Lord, to understand that that's a ministry among us. Everything that is done for you, is done in ministry. And so, Father, we rejoice in that. We rejoice in the opportunity that we have to be in ministry, not only for you, but with you. So we thank you, Father, for those opportunities, and we pray, Father, that you will bring people across our path this week, that we will have opportunity to share our 100-word or 2-minute God story with those people, that they will fully understand that Jesus is alive and Jesus can be Lord of our lives if we will allow him. So, Father, we commit this time to you. We commit our lives to you, our hearts to you. And Lord, we ask that you bless each and every person that's here. Touch the needs, Lord, that were represented. Bring about healing. Bring about restoration. Bring about successful completion of this course, Father, because you can provide us with the knowledge, the ability, the desire to do well. And so we thank you for that, and we pray, Father, for wisdom and guidance in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. read an article the other day about a couple things about communion. And one of them has to do with forgiveness. But the other one is just to emphasize that healing again, that part of what Jesus did was for our healing. So I just want us to think about that. Think about the people that we prayed for. And thank God as you take communion that God has touched their lives in a special way. The body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of Jesus shed for you. The body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Body of Jesus broken for you. Blood of Jesus shed for you. Body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Body of Jesus broken for you. Jesus.
So the pastor's message on Sunday, guess what it's about?
Yes.
And once again, we turn to YouTube. There's about three of them we found that this is the one that was working. Let Bruce get Jesus my Redeemer up. I know you've got it, because we did it earlier.
Do you want mine?
Man, he has all the special notes on his.
G2 and C2?
This is an extended practice. This is one of the reasons I love Thursdays, because we can actually pull it off on Sunday. No, actually, no capos. No, not on this one. I did change that part of it. Let's see.
Redeemer,
the instruments. What do you think on this, Bruce? Good Christian member, Joyce. We can acapella it. Bruce and I were trying to decide on this. It's like, should we acapella it or should we try and do something with it?
That is truly kicking through.
Instrument wise.
You handle this one, Bruce. I'm in conflict with you.
Percussion.
Good Christian, then rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Let's do verse 3 a cappella. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Called ye one and called ye all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Nice. There you go. That's all we had on that, but we have one for Melody. Sing a lot. Cindy used to like to sing it too, wherever Cindy ran off to. Must have the dog go thing going on, right? That's what happens. You get all the children out of the house, and now you have the dog thing going on. You ready, Mel?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, you remember it.
Say. Good. Bruce, do that one.
You gotta sing it for us, though.
Huh? Melanie moved the microphone over there for him, so
you wanna sing?
So Bruce can sing, because Bruce is gonna teach us.
I don't know this.
We can also. He's gonna have to teach it to us now. Christmas.
I have to be.
Does Bruce know?
No, I doubt it. You don't know this song, do you? It's called My Redeemer. I doubt you.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Get
it,
bigger
do you,
print and then decide if I actually know it. How's it go?
Well, I don't know the intro, but it's got those chords. And then it's who taught the sun where to send it?
Oh,
Well, sorry, we did pretty well. Okay. Time for me.